When somebody offers to serve you, it's quite cheering, isn't it? Maybe it's a shop assistant, maybe somebody in a hotel. Somebody comes alongside you and says, can I help you? Or says, what can I do for you? It's very encouraging, isn't it, when you have somebody who utters those words, how can I help you? And they really mean it and they really want to assist you. But what must it be for the Lord of glory and the King of heaven to say, what can I do to serve you? What can I do for you? Now, those were the very words that the Lord Jesus Christ pronounced to a blind beggar. What can I do for you? How his heart must have leapt when he heard those words. Imagine the sort of life that he had led. Being despised. Could never see the beautiful things that we see. He was blind. He could hear people's voices. When somebody said, did you see that? Wasn't it wonderful to behold that? He could only wonder and imagine what that would mean. Perhaps he felt at times a bit angry that people would speak in such a way in his presence. Can't you see that I'm blind? Oh, to have the King of Glory say to you, what can I do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Now, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, he met many people during his life who had many different conditions. He performed an amazing amount of miracles. Glory filled the land of Palestine as the blind were able to see, as those who had incurable diseases like leprosy, which was incurable in those days, were cleansed. As the deaf could hear, as demon-possessed people were delivered, as even the dead were raised. Glory filled the land as miracle after miracle were performed by Jesus of Nazareth. He knew every person's background. He knew their name. In the passage before us, Luke doesn't tell us the name of this blind beggar. Mark tells us his name. It's Bartimaeus. Jesus knew everyone. He knew every need, and he knew how to meet the need. He knew when somebody was desperate and had faith. He knew when others maybe were indifferent. There was one man who had been 38 years paralyzed, and Jesus treated him in a very different way to this blind man. Jesus didn't say, what do you want me to do for you? He said, do you want to get better? You see, he saw this man wallowing in his self-pity. He saw this man quite glad of the attention because of the condition that he was in. Have you met people like that? They're struggling in life, but oh, how they love the attention. How they want people. How they want to focus so much upon the bad condition that they're in, and they're almost content. They're not. We can't be callous to say they're content in that condition. But maybe Jesus would say to them, do you really want to get well? Well, that wasn't the case with the blind beggar. He really wanted to get better. Nothing would stop him. He kept shouting out, he kept crying out, even though people told him to be quiet. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me, Son of David. He kept crying and shouting. That was his one desire. And Jesus stopped. Jesus listened to him, and Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you? I wonder this morning, how desperate are you? Maybe there's a matter in your life that you're desperate about, and you can bring it to Christ. But what about the condition of your sinful heart? Does that bother you? Do you go to Jesus, Lord, change me, cleanse me? Do you say, Lord, I won't let you go until I find real salvation. I want it, Lord. Today we live in a world of so much indifference, a world of so much unbelief, a world where people haven't got a vigorous, strong faith, a world where people don't give 2 seconds thought about the Christian message. But oh, that the Spirit of God would come and stir people up, that people would feel their condition and they would go to Christ. Whatever the barriers are, that they would go to him and call upon him, and he would meet them at their point of need. Now, the first point this morning that I want to say, having said what I've said already, is this. Humanly speaking, it was the last chance for this man to meet Jesus. You see, in verses 31 to 34, we realize that Jesus is on his last journey to Jerusalem. Everything is going to be accomplished, which was said by the prophets. The prophets long ago had said that the Son of Man would come, the Messiah would come, and he would be the servant of the Lord. And Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. It's very interesting, verses 31 to 33, Jesus doesn't talk about himself using the first person, I. Normally we speak in that way. I'm going to Jerusalem. He talks about the Son of Man. He's very objective in the way in which he speaks. And he says the things that are going to happen to him, the Son of Man. He says he's going to be mocked and insulted and spat upon. He says he's going to be scourged, and then he's going to be killed, and then he's going to rise on the third day. And Jesus says, we're going now to Jerusalem. Now, strangely, these things are hidden from the disciples. Strangely, although Jesus is using plain speech, they can't see it. But he's telling them, this is my final journey to Jerusalem. We've been to Jerusalem many times, but this is the last time. And he will stop off now, maybe stay a night. It appears that he would stay in Zacchaeus' house at least one night before he goes on that final journey to Jerusalem to die. And he's passing through the town of Jericho, and there are crowds around him. Why are there crowds? Well, not long previous, Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. Everybody's now following him. But there are also crowds because it's Passover time. It's the beginning of the year. It's March, April time. The beginning of the Jewish year. And thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people are converging upon Jerusalem for the great seven-day feast. They're on their way. And they're crowding around Jesus, and everybody is talking about Jesus and the miracle that he has performed. And the blind man hears about it. And he asks, what's all this commotion? What's all this kerfuffle, all this noise, all this enthusiasm? And they tell him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. It's his last chance. Will he seize the moment? Will he get to Jesus? There are all sorts of bodies in the way. There's all sorts of difficulties. He's just been sitting by the side of the road begging. How will he get up and find this Jesus? Who will lead him there? How will he get through the crowd? He's a blind man. But he cries out. Cries out at the top of his voice. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What about you? Maybe you think that this isn't your last chance to come to Jesus. Who knows? Remember a man who sat right in the front when we had more rows of chairs, and we would visit him. Just lived in a stone's throw of the church. Came just a few times, only in his 40s. During lockdown, wasn't because of COVID, but he was found dead on a friend's sofa. Remember another lady, about in her 40s, sitting somewhere near Allen. Used to come at one stage Sunday. A Sunday, had an operation. Didn't think anything would be, wasn't a grave matter. Complications. And she died. You cannot say that tomorrow is yours. Tomorrow does not belong to you. Tomorrow is in God's hands. Could this be your last chance? You know, the times when God is speaking powerfully, and you know he's speaking to your heart, and you ignore it. And when you ignore it, Jesus is passing by, and you ignore it, and your heart becomes hard. Oh, that you would respond. Oh, that you would say that, see that today is a day of salvation. This man needed Jesus more than anything, and he went to him. But then secondly, let's consider these barriers. They were great barriers. You know, people put up all sorts of barriers about why they can't come to Jesus now. Too many problems in my family. Can't think about Jesus now. Can't think about Christianity. I put it off until things are a bit easier in life. Oh, my condition, if you only knew the trauma that I've been through in my life. I'm a special case. The agonies, the things that I've gone through, you can't expect me just to come and to trust in Jesus. I've got to sort things out. Things have got to be sorted. We put up all sorts of barriers, whether they're intellectual barriers. You know, you haven't solved this intellectual difficulty that I have with certain parts of the Bible, so I won't believe. Look at this man. Think of the barriers that there were there in his life, his condition. He wasn't able to see Jesus. Jesus was passing by. He wasn't certainly able to swiftly move. If somebody was to guide him to Jesus, he would need help. His only other friends would appear to be people like him. In Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 20, we read that there were two blind beggars. He had another friend who was a beggar next to him. But not only his physical condition, but the prejudice of the crowd. And that was a big thing. You see, when he cries out, do you notice what is said here? They warn him, verse 39, that he should be quiet. When you warn somebody, you're using strong language. You're saying, shut up. You're saying, be quiet. You're just a beggar. Jesus of Nazareth is passing through. What would he want to do with somebody like you? There's more important things for him to do. Be quiet. Many Jews saw that blind people were under the judgment of God. We read that, don't we, in John chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. It's a man who was born blind. And even the disciples thought that he had sinned, or his mother had sinned, and because of personal sin, that he was under God's judgment. That's the way the Jews thought. If you had these awful physical conditions, it was the curse of God against you. So this man would have been living with stigma, with prejudice. I wonder, is prejudice still a factor today? Well, in the UK, we have made great strides, haven't we, to help disabled people. You know, there's still prejudice against disabled people from some quarters. Governments have sought to fight hard against racism in our society. But because of the colour of a person's skin or their nationality, there is still racism. There is all sorts of prejudice in people's hearts. You can be prejudiced to the poor, prejudiced to a certain religious group. Think of that person. Homosexual man there in Cardiff. Three people set upon him, kill him because of his sexuality. They do not see him as a man made in the very image of God. There is deep prejudice. And yet, this man, though there was prejudice against him, be quiet, they said, shut up. He ignored the prejudice. He ignored the fact that it was really hard for him. He just cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Friends, every human life is valuable. Every single person on the face of this earth is made in the very image of God. Yes, the image of God is marred because of sin, but there's still dignity there. And Jesus, he looks upon all sinners with pity. Now, this man, we assume he had no job. Would anybody have given him a job? There was no social security for him. He had to resort to begging. Begging can be a very humiliating experience. I'm sure he felt very isolated in his life. And yet he saw hope. Though everything was against him, there was hope. Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he seemed to understand better than anybody else who Jesus was. He wasn't daunted. Now, I think it's tremendous in the Bible when you see people of faith. This man was a man of faith, calling upon Jesus, calling upon him. You think of the four friends that brought a paralyzed man to Jesus, men of faith. They wouldn't give in, though there's a crowd, there's barriers in their way. They went up the stairway, made a hole in the roof, and they lowered the man down in a stretcher in front of Jesus. What faith was that? Vigorous faith. Think of the Syrophoenician woman. She went to Jesus. The Bible basically tells us the disciples ignored her. She had a demon-possessed daughter. And then the disciples said to Jesus, "Shall we tell her to go away?" And even Jesus challenges her. He said, "It's not good to give the bread which is for the children. You come and have the leftovers." And she said, "Well, even the crumbs under the table are enough for me." And Jesus said, "I've never seen such faith, not in all Israel." She wouldn't be put off. She kept coming. The disciples tried to put her off. She kept calling upon Jesus, Son of David. Again, she used that title. And then you think of the parables that Jesus taught. He taught about a friend going to a neighbor at midnight. And he will not give in, though it's midnight, until he gets bread. And Jesus taught the parable of the unjust judge, the widow. She keeps going to the unjust judge. She keeps going. She keeps pleading a case until she gets what she needs. And hear this man in prayer. He's going to Jesus. "Have mercy on me. Have mercy upon me." Oh, that we would see such faith. And oh, that we as God's people who have been born again would live this life of vigorous faith. You know, we can put up barriers, can't we? We can talk about the difficulties. But think of the barriers that this man had. Think of today, people living in a Muslim home. You hear of them. They know that if they confess Christ, it'll mean that they'll be put out of their family. Some of them have to face the possible death threat. And yet they believe in Jesus. And yet they're prepared to be baptized, knowing what baptism means in their society. Jacob of old, he wrestled all night and he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." What about you this morning? Are you putting up barriers? You're saying, "I can't believe because of this, I can't believe because of..." Or are you reaching out for Jesus? Oh, that you would reach out for him. But let's consider these words. It was a genuine faith. You see, he said, he used the title Son of David. Very, very few people in the New Testament address Jesus as Son of David. What did that title mean? The other people didn't use that. They called him Jesus of Nazareth. To them, he was the man from Nazareth who could perform miracles, but he was a man. The Son of David is a messianic title. It says that the Messiah is coming in the line of David. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem through Joseph in the line of David. And he was going to set up an everlasting kingdom. This man was saying, "You're the Son of David. You're the one who's going to set up the kingdom of God. You're the Redeemer of Israel." I believe it. He confessed it. One of the signs of the Messiah was that he would open the eyes of the blind. We read about it in Isaiah 29, 18, Isaiah 35, 5, and other verses. That when the Messiah comes, he will open the eyes of the blind. He'll unstop the ears of the deaf. This is will be his work. Isaiah 35, 5, if you want to look it up. Do you not remember when John the Baptist temporarily doubted? Jesus said, "Go and tell him this." And the first thing Jesus said was to tell John the Baptist was that the blind now see. The question was, are you the coming one? Are you the Messiah? Or should we expect somebody else? And the answer was, Go and tell him, the blind now see, the deaf now hear. You see, this man, he understood that Jesus was the son of David. And he called out for mercy. Now, he was humbled, wasn't he? He didn't ask just, Lord, heal me. He didn't say that. Of course, he meant that. But what he said was not heal me, but have mercy. In other words, he's saying, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of any blessing that you give me. I'm a sinner. Have mercy upon me. It was very easy for people to pray, Lord, I need a better house. Give me that. I need this. I need healing here. I need the other. But do people pray for mercy? Saying, Lord, I'm not worthy. Have mercy upon me. That's how he came to Jesus, humble and contrite. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? So now let's consider the compassion of Jesus. He stands still in the midst of a crowd. This was typical of the Lord Jesus. He often stopped, didn't he? Now, remember that he had set his face to Jerusalem, and it's now his last journey. The most momentous event in all of history is about to take place, yet he stands still for a blind beggar. We're not like that, are we? When we've got big things to do, important things to do in our life, we don't stand still for anybody. We just have to accomplish that task. But the Lord Jesus is full of compassion. He says, call him. He wants the man to be brought to him. In Mark's gospel, we realize that this man, he gets up by himself because it says he throws off his robe, immediately gets up, and then people help him. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, now he says, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Now he gives his request. And Jesus says, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. What would it have been like? The first person he sees is the Lord Jesus himself. What does he do? Jesus carries on his way. He follows Jesus, we read. He loves Jesus. And we read that he glorifies God. We can imagine him jumping up and down, praising God, and all the people are worshiping and praising God. This is a stupendous act. We must never lose the wonder of it. Somebody who cannot see, who's blind, is now seeing perfectly, as clear as day, 20/20 vision. This is an amazing miracle that only God can do. And Jesus has done it. And Jesus says, your faith. It's amazing how he attributes faith to the man. Yet faith is a gift of God. But he says, your faith has made you well. And that word in the Greek, well, can mean whole. And sometimes it's translated saved. In other words, he's saying to him, you're not only physically healed, but spiritually. You're saved. You're whole. What about you here this morning? Could it be your last chance? This man took hold of the opportunity. He seized the moment. And Jesus stopped for a blind beggar and had compassion on him. He would die for people like that upon the cross. He would go and shed his precious blood for a blind beggar in Jericho, and a cheating swindler in Jericho, Zacchaeus. They were the only two that we read about, a blind beggar and a cheating swindler. But he would go to the cross to shed his blood for them. Oh, that you would see your need of Jesus, that you would come to him this day. Let not this opportunity pass you by. Amen.